Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I'd like to thank Glenn for those songs. I keep thinking, if I make it to his age, I hope I still can sing, let alone lead songs. So I just appreciate Glendon and all that he's done throughout his lifetime. This lesson that I'm presenting this morning, I'm calling Authentic Christianity Part 2. I did a part earlier using a parable. And this morning, Our focus is on 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. The verse is also up on the screen. But I'd like to invite you to take out your Bibles and follow along with me this morning as we discuss and study in God's Word. And hopefully you can glean some things that might be helpful for you, as I found that they were for me. 1 John 3, 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." This verse really hits me square in the forehead, and it really is kind of the essence of who we are to be as Christians, loving in not just speech or with words, but with actions, with truth. That means indeed, that means in reality, in that sense. You know, Jesus taught with parables. And I think many of his parables we often overlook. We say, oh, yeah, I remember that parable. Oh, yeah, we studied that when I was in grade school or junior high. I remember these parables growing up when I was a young person. And sometimes I go back and I look at and review some of these parables and the message that Jesus was trying to convey. And it just speaks so true to me, even today. The first one I want to consider: a lawyer asked this question to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" He was trying to justify himself when Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He says, "Well, who is my neighbor? Is there limits? Is there people I can exclude?" Jesus' answer in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and we won't have time to read every single scripture, but please write these down, go back and review these. Jesus' response shows the true character of a Christian in his kingdom. And let me briefly review the parable in case you're not familiar. A man is beaten, he is stripped, he is robbed by robbers, and he is left half dead alongside the roadway in a barren place. Now a priest happened by, and he saw the man, but he passed by on the other side. Later, a Levite comes by, and he also sees the man, and he passes by on the other side. It's like this man is, maybe he was a sinner, and they didn't want to associate with sinners, because after all, they were a priest. After all, he was a Levite. He was the Holy One. Or maybe they were just too busy. Maybe they had to get to the temple. And maybe they had too many things they had to do in their service or in their religious rites. Just too busy to help someone. But then along came this despised Samaritan. You see, the Jews, they hated the Samaritans. They regarded them as sinners, as outside of their faith. This Samaritan comes along, and he sees the man, and he has compassion. He takes the time to bind up his wounds. He sets him on his own animal. He brings him to an inn, and there he took care of him. He gave, I think, two more denarii. In case there was more expenses, he said, "I will pay them when I return." Jesus teaches an authentic Christian is like the Samaritan, one who shows mercy, one who takes action, and one who is neighborly in truth. You see, the priest and the Levite, they weren't neighborly, but the Samaritan was. I raise this question: are we too busy in our lives to do the right thing? Does helping others take priority in our lives over our own busyness? Do we look down on others who we think are less than ourselves? Well, they're not in the church. An authentic Christian seeks ways to help others, has compassion, Just think about that for a moment. When's the last time you had compassion on someone outside your own family? Have you ever taken the time to help someone? You see, you get things inside of you when you help someone. That's a type of reward. Not that they show gratitude or not that you do it to be seen by others, but taking that time, doing the right thing, doing things that you know will help someone and lift them up and edify them. A Christian uses what they have available to them to help and to aid others. Maybe it's just the message of the gospel, I love you. Maybe it's just showing compassion, I want to help you. I feel your pain, I understand what you're going through, I want to help. Maybe it's taking a little bit that you have and helping that person, and it just edifies them and lifts them up for that day. Imagine a world full of authentic Christians who help in time of need, in time of sickness, in time of disaster. And it doesn't have to be a catastrophic flood or a fire. It could just be a disaster of that person's life. Maybe your helping hand will help that person who's facing disaster and ruin and give them some hope. An authentic Christian helps others when it's not convenient, when it's not easy. That's an authentic Christian. This morning we talked about forgiveness in our Bible class, and I'm not going to try to hit on any of those same points. But Jesus tells a parable that we're all familiar with. A man has two sons, and the younger son demands his inheritance. He leaves, and then he squanders all of his inheritance. He then returns in dire poverty. In the depths of being poor, he comes to himself, and he realizes, I have sinned. He returns to his father and says, I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, if you want the context. Now his father was looking for him to return, hoping that his son would come back to him one day. And when he sees his son afar off, you can see the relief that his father has and the joy. He calls for the fatted calf to be slaughtered, and he puts a robe and I think a gold ring or something on his hand, and he celebrates, and he says that the one who was dead is now alive. He was lost and is found. Jesus' point is to illustrate God's boundless love and forgiveness, and I think the Father is representative of God in this parable. And God's boundless love and forgiveness is for those who repent. And I think those are represented by this son that comes back, this prodigal son. He also shows an authentic Christian is always willing to forgive. And we talked about that at length this morning. Always willing to forgive those who repent. We have to have that same mindset that God, our Father, has. When he forgave us, we also are to go and forgive others. We're to join with the angels and celebrate the one who was lost and is found. Do you ever celebrate when someone repents? Do you ever have that overflowing joy inside of you saying, I'm so glad that person came to their senses and repented? Sometimes it's the most difficult thing to do as an authentic Christian is unconditional forgiveness. Unconditional compassion toward those who are in the wrong. Authentic Christians also need to repent of every sin. You may say, oh yeah, brother so-and-so, brother sister so-and-so, they need to repent. Oh yes. What about you? What about me? Do we repent? Like the son in the story, he came to realize he sinned before God. Like all of us are sinners, me and you, we are all sinners. He needed to take action, to turn away from that sin, to be reconciled back to God. he was humbled to the point he realized his greatest need wasn't wealth or food or clothing. He was out slopping the pigs, and he longed for that food that he was slopping the pigs with. That's how dire his circumstance was. That's how low he had been brought. But he realized he didn't need all of those things, but he had to humbly repent and ask for forgiveness. He had to repent of his wasteful living, of giving in to self-indulgence, giving in to entertaining himself, and giving in to his desires. He had to repent of all of those things. Instead, he needed to be like his father's servants. You ever think about that in that story? He remembers his father's servants. He doesn't remember his other brother. He remembers his father's servants. I want to be like them. Why? Those other servants, they obeyed his father. They received forgiveness, and they remained faithful to their master. That's why this son wanted to be like the other servants. Now, maybe he thought of his brother. That's possible. But the first thing that we're pointed out in this story is he remembered the other servants, wanting to be like them, remembering their example, remembering their status with the master and their heart and their attitude, and realizing, this son realized he had to change to become like the other servants. So those of us who are still Christians, those of us who are still authentic, keep doing the right thing. Keep asking for forgiveness. Keep obeying the master and remaining faithful. The next parable is in Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. I'll go ahead and take a few minutes to read this one. Turn, if you will, to Luke 15, verse 3. So he told them this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave his 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Authentic Christianity involves searching for, seeking after, and loving the lost, longing for their return to the fold. Like that shepherd who traveled a great distance, who thought of that one sheep that had gone astray over the 99 that he left back in the fold. This may require us as Christians to have a lengthy wait, that is, to be patient with that lost soul, calling for them, that is, teaching them with kindness, and rejoicing when that one that is lost is found. Authentic Christians are called upon to leave their comfort zone in order to save the lost. You might say, well, you know, I'm good. I went to church today. I went to Bible class. I study my Bible. I pray every day. God's asking you to leave your comfort zone, not to leave behind your faith, but to take it with you and go and seek and save the lost that are probably right next door to where you live, probably right near you where you work or where you go to school, probably a friend or family member that you know of that is not a Christian. An authentic Christian may travel to find one that is lost, but on the other hand, in this country, we don't have to go very far. Maybe we have to traverse difficult circumstance. Maybe it's uncomfortable to talk to that person or to look at their circumstance, realize how entrenched in sin that they are. And having them overcome those sins is going to be difficult. To reach that one that is lost, to reach their heart, to reach their intellect, to help them realize that they are blind and naked before God and guilty. Not doing it in such a way that's harsh or mean, but doing so with love and compassion. Notice that mountains or distance or wild animals or bad weather never stopped the shepherd from finding that lost sheep. Now, we're not called upon to go over the Rocky Mountains or find some cliff to hang off of. We're not called to do those things. We often need to seek the lost in ones that we often overlook in our daily lives. Maybe some that we say, oh, we can't reach that person. They're just so far entrenched in their sin. Oh, I can't talk to that family member. That would be really uncomfortable around Thanksgiving or the holidays. But we need to be like the shepherd. Don't let the barriers that we put up prevent us from seeking and saving those who are lost and reaching out to them with hope, reaching out to them with the gospel, saying, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I want you to think about God, and I want you to come to church. I want to have a Bible study with you. I would love to sit down and study with you. How can I help you? What are some things that you're thinking about? Maybe we could study on those. I'm sure you could probably come up with 100 more ways to approach those who are lost than I can think of. Another parable, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Jesus tells of a master who's going away on a long journey, and he entrusts three of his servants, one with 5 talents, one with 2 talents, and one with 1 talent, each according to their ability. Now, you're probably familiar with this parable. I know we've studied it here. On his return, the master comes to settle the accounts with these servants. The servant with 5 talents comes and he says, look, master, I have brought 5 more talents. He brings 10 talents. And likewise, the one that was entrusted with 2, he brings 2 more talents, saying, look, master, I brought 2 more talents, 4 total. The master says to each of them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one with 1 talent merely just brings the 1 talent back and says, Lord, I know you reap where you have not sown. And I was afraid, and I took that talent and I buried it in the ground. But here is your talent back, that which you gave me. And the master said to that servant, you wicked and slothful servant. He took it from him and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. And then he took that one with 1 talent and he cast him into the outer darkness, because he had squandered his talent and forsook his faith and acted in fear. Not a good kind of fear. He was afraid. Jesus illustrates authentic Christians are faithful in little things. He wants us to do and act in a faithful way with our time and our talent, and expects us to bear much fruit. It's like this: if you go plant many seeds in the ground, what do you expect those seeds to do? When you water them, you give them sunlight and warmth, it's springtime. What do you expect those seeds to do? First of all, you expect them to grow, right? Maybe you have to weed them and keep them watered, but you expect them to grow. Then you expect them to bear much fruit. Maybe you planted corn or beans or strawberries or whatever it is that is sown. But you expect it to bear fruit. That's the way God has planted the seed inside of each one of us. God causes other people to water. He asks us to weed out the sins in our lives, but he expects there to be growth in our faith. And God expects there to be fruit that we bear. And that's kind of the message that we're being given here. Not only did he implant the written word in our hearts, but he's also given us the talents and the abilities, and he expects us to bear much fruit. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." God desires our whole heart, not just part of it. To be authentic with God means seeking him without any pretense. We must fully trust him, trust his gospel, and it will change your heart. It will change your mind. It will draw you to him. Trust in his ability to guide and transform us. You've often heard that phrase, well, just trust the system. I'm asking you to trust the master and trust his gospel. Our authenticity leads us to deeper intimacy with the Lord. You're going to grow close to God. You must align your innermost thoughts with his thoughts, because his thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways. It's very noble to want to emulate his thoughts. It's very worthy and worthwhile to change our ways to make them his ways. How do we do this? We must study his word and understand it. We must pray to God in private, not to be seen by others. Communicate with God in your prayers, and he will answer them. If you pray for more faith, God will grant it to you. If you pray for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you pray that God lead you out of that temptation, or lead you to be closer to his son, or to lead you to the lost, God will find a way through his providence. We must value our time that we spend with God in prayer and in study and in doing the things he wants us to do. It will draw us closer to him. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This shows that authentic Christians are God's people. You are not your own. You belong to God. You were redeemed with a price, the blood of Jesus. You are called to reflect his goodness in the world. Think about how good Jesus was in his character. We are called upon to go and do the same. Authenticity as Christians means living out our calling with confidence. There's a difference between being confident and bold and bragging and doing things to be seen by others. There's a huge difference, so don't take me wrong. But we are also not to hide our light of Christ within us. We can't be a secret Christian and make it into heaven. You might say, well, I want to belong to the secret service, God's service. No, brother, that's not what's being described here. Let your light be shine before men, so they may see the character of Christ that dwells within you. We can't hide our light and expect to get to heaven. You may say, well, brother, I am a Christian inside my home. I am a Christian inside of the church. I'm doing everything that God wants me to do. But maybe there's more you could do to let your light shine. Again, think about that being faithful over a little. You are in charge of that light, aren't you? You are in charge of what you do with your life and your time, aren't you? God is just asking you to be faithful in those little areas of your life, how you spend your time, how you let your light shine. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Authentic Christians come to the aid of others who are facing adversity in difficult times. And I apologize, it's cut off down at the end there. We must speak truth. And I just realized I've turned to the wrong verse. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Authentic Christians help one another. We encourage each other. We speak truth into each other's lives when we most need it, and help others to grow spiritually and to grow closer to Christ. Another parable that we can read about, Jesus is talking about a king that's sitting on his throne and separating out the people on the right hand and on the left, like a shepherd that's separating the sheep and the goats. To the righteous, he indicates, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to me. They asked him, Lord, when did we do all these things? And he answered, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Authentic Christians show their faith by their works, helping those that are hungry or those that are thirsty or those that need clothing, those that need sustenance, those that are in prison, you visit them. You teach those who need teaching, helping those who need help. Even when no one is looking, even when no one is aware, and expect nothing in return for what you give them. An authentic Christian knows that their treasure is laid up in heaven. They're not worried about being repaid. They're not concerned with, well, I helped sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Instead, they're just happy that they were able to help. Happy that they were able to share what they did have at a critical time or in an important point in that person's life to help them. Turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 2. There it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Authentic Christians share each other's burdens. When we help others, we fulfill Christ's command to love one another. You know, the best way to know what people need is to get to know that person. The best way to help that fellow Christian is to understand what they're struggling with. Now that requires transparency. We have to tell others what's troubling us if we expect them to tell us what's troubling them or what they're struggling with. And that can be hard to do sometimes, to be honest with people. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. There it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We talk about being faithful in all these little things in our life. Do you realize that God created you for good works? Not only does he plant the seed in us, not only does he give us these talents, but God created us for good works. We are his workmanship. Sometimes you think about, well, that person takes pride in their work. They've done a great job. They have reason to show their good works because they have such great talent or great ability, or they've done such good things. God wants you because he created you for good works. Not to be on display or some kind of bragging or something like that. But those good works that help others are what we're put here for. When you discover and use your talents God gave you, you use them to glorify him. Then you will truly experience a full life. Turn, if you will, to James chapter 1, verse 17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Using our gifts to benefit others simply glorifies God. Letting our Father, who's the Father of lights, letting our light shine by helping others, that's the essence of authentic Christianity. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs 22:29. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. We must give our utmost because our King asks us to. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 12, 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5 says, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. We can all serve in different kinds of service. We don't all have to do the same good works. But we do all those good works because God gave them to each one of us. Our talents, our abilities, our time, our contacts, people that we know, people we have influence over. But we do all of those good works for God, for His glory. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we serve others, if we speak the oracles of God, if we use our talents and gifts that God gave us, in all things God is to be glorified. I put in that sign up in the upper right-hand corner. When you do those things for others, it's like you're doing them for Christ. Because that's what Jesus said. When I was hungry, when I was naked, when I was in prison, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me, Jesus. Well, I hope this study and the parables has been helpful for you. I know it was an encouragement, to say the least, for me. I've not spoken much about giving your life to Christ or becoming a Christian this morning. But if you are not a Christian, why not this morning? Why not put on Christ in baptism? Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, for as many of you have been baptized, have put on Christ. Why not repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life, why not repent of that sin this morning? Why not pray to God for forgiveness if it's of a private nature? If it's of a public nature and you need the prayers of the congregation, you can come forward this morning. We'll pray with you and pray for you for forgiveness. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing.